Vital Flaw, an historical dramatization of the relationship between Dr. Felix Kersten and the Nazi SS leader Himmler. Kersten was Himmler's personal doctor, but is also thought to have saved many lives from the gas chamber.
From Rudolf Brandt, Landsberg Prison, June 1, 1948. My dear Dr. Kersten, I cannot sleep tonight, so I'm taking this opportunity to write to you. The prison is so quiet now, especially after dark. All too fertile ground for thought. I thank you for your efforts on my behalf during my trial. Your statement in defense of my character gave my judges pause for thought and touched me deeply. As to evidence against me, you may say it is circumstantial, but circumstance so often dictates the actions by means of which we define ourselves. I was a Nazi, an SS man. These are sins I cannot deny, and which I must now pay for. But time was when I saw them as virtues. Like most young men with ideals for a better future, I joined the party in pursuit of justice, purity, the eradication of unearned privilege, and so that I could get work to support my sick parents. My diligence and my skills as a stenographer took me to the heart of the organization, made me personal assistant to the Reichsführer SS, Heinrich Himmler. I was a good stenographer. Such is circumstance. And now I am here. My one light in this darkness is the knowledge that I was able for some time to divert my attention from the administration of deadliness and lend what little help I could to your endeavors in the name of humanity.
A Vital Flaw by Neville Watchhurst. With Martin Jarvis as Dr. Felix Kersten, John Dutteen as Heinrich Himmler, Christopher Ravenscroft as Rudolf Brandt, and Louise Jameson as Irmgard. A Vital Flaw.
Come.
The file on Dr. Felix Kersten, Herr Himmler.
Good, Rudy. No, stay. I want to ask your advice. You have familiarized yourself with the details?
Of course. Reichsführer.
So, tell me.
Kersten was born in the Soviet province of Livonia, but in the 1418 war fought against Russia in the Finnish Independence League, thereafter becoming himself a naturalized Finn. He and his German wife reside primarily in The Hague, but he runs a practice at his flat here in Berlin. 10 years ago, in 1928, Dr. Kersten also bought a country house outside the city. He has no overt political affiliations, but in The Hague, his clients include many dignitaries and Jews at the court of Queen Wilhelmina, besides the prince himself.
Yes, but what of his methods?
He obtained his diploma in scientific massage in Sweden, whereafter he came to Berlin and studied under Professor Beer. He then became a pupil of a certain Tibetan Lama, Dr. Ko, whose practice he inherited on Ko's return to Tibet.
Since when he has become famous for his healing gifts?
If I may say so, fashionable society has often proved willing to pay high fees to charlatans.
Brandt, you are a cynic. You must not discount alternative methods. Did not the Kneipp water treatment I recommended prove efficacious for your headaches?
Yes, Reichsführer.
I have tried all conventional means for my stomach cramps. Injections, drugs. I have used herbal remedies, but nothing works. It is intolerable, not just the pain. The Reichsführer SS must not be seen to be ill. Rosberg has recommended him so highly. He says he has worked miracles with his nervous exhaustion. He feels a new man. You clearly do not think it is a good idea for me to see this Dr. Kersten.
I merely think it would be unseemly for you, the head of the SS, to permit him to give you treatment. He is a foreigner, a womanizer, to be blunt, Reichsführer, a fat social parasite.
I have nothing to fear from one fat civilian. Tell Rostek to approach Dr. Kessel on my behalf.
Very good, Reichsführer. Dr. Kersten?
Yes.
Obersturmführer Brandt. Hi, Hitler.
Good day, Lieutenant.
The Reichsführer is very eager to meet you. Will you follow me? Could you walk ahead, please?
What? X-rays? I am unarmed.
If you please, Doctor.
You see?
It is a necessary formality, Doctor.
Are there any other formalities I should observe in the presence of Herr Himmler? I must confess to being somewhat apprehensive.
You have nothing to fear, if you are able to live up to your own reputation. You will no doubt have heard much nonsense talked about the Reichsführer. Vulgar myth. Herr Himmler is a man of the highest standards, and expects equally high standards from those who serve him.
I have only to look around me to see that.
As I'm sure you're aware, the SS headquarters is the center of much of the Reich's most crucial and most highly classified work.
You may rely upon my discretion.
Well, if your discretion and your efficiency are all you claim, you will go some way towards measuring up to the Reichsführer's expectations.
Such rigorous standards must prove very punishing to the Constitution, do they not?
Not for the true SS man. Through here.
Thank you. Then I'm wrong in thinking that you suffer from bad headaches.
I am in perfect health, thank you, Doctor. This is the Reichsführer's office.
Enter!
Herr Kersten.
Herr Himmler.
Please, come in, come. That will be all, thank you, Brandt. See that nobody disturbs us.
Very good, Reichsführer.
I have heard a lot about you, Doctor. I suffer terribly in the stomach, this last attack. It may all stem from my illness in my youth. Paratyphoid, jaundice, recently aggravated by food poisoning. Doctor, can you ease this pain?
Please remove your garments and lie down on the couch.
Will you be able to cure me?
I cannot say for certain yet. There. Now, please try and relax. And say nothing. I first of all have to locate the source of the problem. I work through my fingertips. All my energy and powers of perception have to become focused in them to get beneath the skin, the flesh, the sinew, to the channels of life, the nerves. Like a blind man reading Braille, I use the pads of my fingers to discover what is happening deep within the soul of the patient.
Oh, my God!
Yes. The root of your trouble lies in the sympathetic nerve running parallel to the stomach. Your general nervous condition also would appear to be highly and chronically stressed.
Sure. Relies on me for the execution of many important tasks. That is unavoidable. But can you cure me?
Your medical history suggests that your condition is beyond actual cure. I could certainly try to relieve your symptoms over time.
Then in God's name, try. Try. I can never thank you enough. What you have done for me over these few weeks is unbelievable. You have saved my life, given me back the strength I need to continue my work. The pain has been a terrible distraction, and the strain of hiding it.
Mm.
It is too shaming. The Reichsfuhrer should not have weaknesses.
You should not reproach yourself, Herr Himmler.
The stress of your position makes
it... Within 125 years, with careful breeding, we shall have restored Germany to pure Nordic blood. I am myself dark, and my physique is not ideal, but I am Bavarian, and thus my devotion to the Führer is especially strong. You are helping me put that devotion into practice. For that, you merit being hailed as a hero of the Reich.
No, I am no hero, Herr Himmler. I merely do what I can to stem the pain of suffering flesh and blood. I have no politics in me.
That is probably why you inspire me to take you into my confidence. But who cannot? As you bend over me, your face like that of a Buddha, I feel such a desire to confide. Yes, you have become my magic Buddha.
You may get dressed again now, if you wish.
Is it safe? I always fear I shall break the spell.
Quite safe, Herr Himmler.
I value our talks. I see very few laymen, people outside the SS. That is a policy decision, of course. There is rarely any profit to be had from consorting with such people. Besides, I know that there are many in Germany who feel uncomfortable when they see this black tunic. We understand that, and we do not expect to be beloved by over many people.
May I ask a question?
My dear doctor, please.
How do you reconcile yourself to such unpopularity?
Ha! That is simple. I have absolute faith in the Führer. Total conviction that our cause is right and necessary. The SS has a divine mission to re-educate the German people, to restore them to glory, to root out complacency. This will not be achieved without effort. Discipline. We are the nursemaid whose task it is to make Germany swallow this medicine for its own good. And then?
Then?
Of course. Our duty extends beyond our current boundaries. We have already annexed the Sudetenland. The Slavic races are inferior, and so, for the good of Europe, we must prevent them spreading outward. Germany must be consolidated by a peasant stock taking back their birthright, uniting blood and soil, as in the days of Heinrich I.
I am ignorant of politics, as I have said, but don't you think that your plans might meet with some resistance?
My shrewd Buddha. I may as well tell you. There will be war before long.
You cannot mean it.
I am not in the habit of saying things I do not mean. There will be war because it is the Führer's wish. Because he considers it of the utmost importance for the well-being of the German people. War makes men purer and stronger.
Or kills them.
Oh, how simple you are, Kirsten. You refresh me. But your simplicity blinkers you. Makes you blind to the idea which overrides mere individualism. The Führer is the source of the idea. We of the SS are his right arm, his strength. We have the faith to respond to his will without hesitation, unquestioningly. We are going to conquer Poland. The British Jews have guaranteed its integrity. This will teach them a lesson.
But that will mean world war.
Kirsten, still you do not see. Britain and France are so spineless they will not stand in our way. But you could not hope to understand. You are a Finn and your political senses have been dulled by Dutch democracy.
No doubt, Herr Himmler. On the subject of Holland, I shall shortly be returning to The Hague. I have only a few patients still left to see in Berlin.
And your course of treatment is nearly complete.
Oh, why don't you stay in Germany? Then I would have you close.
No. It is not good for a patient to become dependent.
I will make you an honorary colonel in the SS.
What? A fat fin like me?
I take your point. Anyway, the war will be over in 10 days at the outside. Very well. Go. I look forward to seeing you in the new year. Unless...
Sooner. If you need me.
You have done excellent work over these past weeks. The role you have played in restoring the Reich's Führer to full health has been a great privilege.
Inasmuch as the power I have to relieve pain is a privilege, I agree. But whether my patients are laborers or kings is a matter of indifference to me.
But the kings pay better, no doubt.
Lieutenant Brandt, I ask fees only from those who can afford them.
Forgive me, Doctor, I meant nothing.
When I come back, perhaps you would allow me to give you a course of treatment, free of charge.
That would be very kind, Dr. Kirsten.
Until New Year, then.
Irmgard, my sweet. That little roebuck has come back.
Oh.
He looks so fragile and nervous out there in the snow.
Perhaps we should tell Lena to put out the kitchen scraps for him.
Yes.
How kind you are.
Oh, life has been kind to me. I found you.
My dearest, how are you feeling today?
Oh, much better. The morning sickness has passed away.
Let me feel him.
Your daily father and son conference.
Yes. There he is. Oh, such a strong pulse of life.
Oh, I wonder who that can be on Boxing Day.
No, I'll get it.
Lena will be busy. Kirsten? Lieutenant Brandt, how are you? No, we had arranged to start on the 6th. No. Of course I will come, as I promised. No, that will not be necessary. I have my own vehicle and driver.
Not a patient, Felix.
I'm afraid so, my dear.
Can't they wait until after the holiday?
Not in this case, I'm sorry.
But who is it? Who can be so special that you drop everything and go into Berlin in all this snow?
A very important client, Irmgard. I'm sorry, my darling, but I promised him I'd be available whenever he wanted me. I cannot refuse.
I demand to speak to Herr Himmler in person.
I'm sorry, Dr. Kirsten, that's not possible. The Reichsführer is currently in Poland.
You're refusing to give me my passport?
It's not being refused, you. There has simply been some confusion over the issuing of your visa.
Oh, how very convenient. I have to return to The Hague. I have patients waiting. I've already delayed my return on the Reichsführer's behalf. It is now April. 4 months I've been here. I've done all I can for Herr Himmler. He's not the only person who suffers.
Dr. Kirsten, please. The Reichsführer is not acting from selfish motives. It would be unwise for you to return to Holland at this point in time.
What are you saying?
That's all I can tell you, Doctor.
My God. Where will all this madness end? Well, believe me, I shall not let this rest. I am a Finnish citizen. You cannot keep me here against my will. Ambassador Kivimäki, thank you for agreeing to see me at such short notice.
My dear Dr. Kirsten, I had been hoping for some while that we might have an opportunity to talk.
Oh?
It is my duty as ambassador in times such as these to keep in touch with all Finnish nationals in Berlin, to be aware of their needs and their activities. But please, tell me, what brings you?
I wish to leave the country.
Yes. But you hold a Finnish passport, and we are not at war with Germany. Are you perhaps under pressure from patients to remain here?
You know, then?
We know that you have dealings inside SSHQ. More than that, of course, we cannot know. Unless you were to volunteer the information. The apparent freedom of movement you enjoy would suggest that these visits involve staff at quite a high level.
It is not something I embarked upon happily.
My dear Kirsten, believe me, no one is blaming you. But if a high-ranking officer in the SS is against your leaving the country, well, let us just say Finland is not going to go to war for the sake of one of her subjects. One naturalized subject, however eminent he may be.
Then I shall have to turn elsewhere.
You are running out of options, Doctor. Livonia, your native country, has been annexed by the Russians, against whom you took up arms in the last war. To return there would be suicide.
I wish to go to my home in The Hague.
Holland has today been invaded by the Nazis.
No.
I fear you will have to look somewhere else for an escape route.
I'm not trying to escape.
What then? I shall be frank. Your presence here could be of great political significance to your country.
But Ambassador, I am no politician.
Kirsten, these are terrible times. The call of duty is making strange demands on countless individuals. Are you prepared to nail your colors to the mast? Will you tell me who it is you are treating?
It is the Reichsführer himself.
Good God. Himmler, you are coming into personal contact with the Reichsführer SS.
You understand now?
Yes, Dr. Kirsten. Do you?
I understand. I must stay.
Why will you not tell me where you are going, Felix?
I cannot, my darling.
I am your wife, the mother of your child. Am I not to be trusted?
It is for your own safety. You're right. As my wife, you are entitled to know. I'm to leave for the Western Front as Himmler's physician.
Felix, you are treating that man, that monster? Why?
Herr Rosteg asked me to. We owe our home here to Rosteg's generosity. Believe me, I've since done all I could to try and get us away. But now I must cooperate.
Oh, Felix.
You must not breathe a word of this to anyone.
Oh, my poor Felix.
No, no, no. Everything will be all right. Himmler likes me.
But you're no longer free.
No, but who is? Dr. Coe taught me that the accepting mind can make good of any situation. My problem is my Westerner's mind sees only an evil man whom, through my treatments, I am helping to do evil.
Oh, Felix, you're not to blame. To resist him would be to sacrifice yourself in vain.
If only I could see what good I'm supposed to do.
Ernst! Hey, Captain Brunner! Huh? That new secretary of yours, is it true? She's a countess?
Oh, she says so. I've seen a whole mark stamped on her arm.
But you've seen her arm?
Oh, yeah. In office hours, she takes my dictation. And off duty, she takes my... Hey, Andres, you'll be owing me that crate of snaps before long. The French won't last a month.
Ah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll truss them up like the turkeys they are. And then we go back east. All I want's my nice spread in Poland or Czechoslovakia. I've been promised to.
How many acres do you think you'll get?
600.
How do you work that out?
Length of service.
But I've got a dagger.
Yeah, who gives a shit? It's doing the time that counts.
Doctor, you're not leaving us.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
Yeah. Stop for a drink. We're just going to toast the Führer.
I don't drink, thank you.
Yeah, fat, finished bastard.
Bloody something.
He comes and goes as he pleases. He's right here at any time of the day or night. Yeah, well, he'll get what's coming to him. Beer, more beer! 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 Beer!
Oh, Lieutenant, you still at work?
In triplicate, you might say.
I almost didn't notice you behind all those forms. War certainly creates a lot of paperwork.
It does.
You're not joining the others? Seems to be a party in the mess.
When is there not? No, too busy. That's not my idea of fun, to tell you the truth.
I have enjoyed more convivial surroundings.
You are not popular. Some of the officers, Kaltenbrunner, Heydrich in particular, regard you with suspicion. They resent you. It is said you exhibit a certain indifference to Nazi principles.
I am not a politician.
You don't have to justify yourself, not to me. I just felt you should be aware.
Thank you. Yes, I will bear in mind what you say. The Reichsführer is still in his office?
Yes. Please, carry on.
Perhaps you'd care to resume our sessions of treatment.
I should like that, Doctor, yes. Thank you.
Kerstin, what can I do for you?
Sorry to disturb you, Reichsführer. I really only came by to see if I could borrow something to read.
Feel free.
Thank you.
And how are you enjoying your time here?
Well, to be honest, I have little in common with most of the staff. I enjoy our own conversations very much. But you are naturally an extremely busy man. Not that I would dream of complaining. This campaign is no pleasure jaunt. My duty is to care for your health.
Which you do marvelously.
Thank you. But my duties do not fill my whole day. That's it in a nutshell. I suppose I'm just a bit bored. What I would not wish you to think, as I feel some of your staff may be thinking, is that my occasional glumness indicates that I disapprove.
I am glad you have raised this matter. You are right. One officer has spoken to me about you. Fools. To think that I could be taken in. I trust you. You have my gratitude, my confidence, and my friendship.
Thank you. I feel... Well, I ought to leave you to your work. But without wishing to presume too much, I would entreat you to remember your health and to permit yourself some rest.
Posterity will not inquire how well Heinrich Himmler slept, but how much he achieved. Thanks to your treatments, I am able to overcome human weakness and concentrate wholly on the task of fulfilling the Fuhrer's wishes. As to your being bored, my dear Dr. Kerstin, do not worry. France will make peace. You will soon be back in your practice in Berlin.
Doctor! Oh, good day! I've not seen you for some time. I assumed you left Berlin.
Here, Rustig, no. No, my patients keep me here. One patient in particular, a man known to us both.
Doctor, I am most profoundly sorry.
You mustn't be. Perhaps there's some shape, some meaning in all this. How goes the potassium industry?
Oh, the same as everywhere else. Poison. People inform on their workmates for money or preferment or mere hysteria. Only the other day they arrested one of my most trusted employees, a foreman of the Gernheim plant. A social democrat, perhaps, but no agitator. They took him away to the camp at Dachau. No one can do any good for him now.
Oh, I have been so blind. I know nothing of politics, but this man is an individual. Dr. Cole, can I ever be forgiven?
Are you all right, Kirsten? Just come over, you.
Here, Rostek. What is the man's name?
The doctor.
Please, just give me his name. There. Lieutenant Brandt. Lie still for a few minutes. Allow the nerves to rest.
Thank you, Doctor. When we first met, how did you know about my headaches?
There was something in your eyes which told me that your real self had little to do with the public face you project. Such duality, such conflict will always exact its price. Am I correct? Please, Rudy. I may call you Rudy. You have nothing to fear from me.
No, I know. But, suspicion has become second nature to me, to us all.
Why don't you meet me this evening? 8:30. Do you know the Fosters Club?
What will you have? Champagne.
No, just a beer for me, thank you, Doctor.
Beer for my friend. And I shall have a grenadine and seltzer water. Thank you, Christophe. Does the Fosters Club shock you, Rudy?
Well, I have to admit it's not the kind of place I imagined you would frequent.
One should always take care to throw the occasional bone to the frivolous side of one's nature. It is good to relax.
It's a long time since I heard that word. I'm never off my guard. One careless remark.
You will not be overheard here.
What you were saying earlier.
Beer, Benadine, and seltzer.
Thank you, Christophe.
My health.
You were saying, Rudy? First.
First.
Was I right to think that you have certain doubts?
My attitude to my work is not as straightforward as it might be, as it once was. Things used to seem clearer. There were goals and ideals to aspire to, but now... You've seen the kind of men who make up the SS. The Kaltenbrunners, the Heydrichs. You saw how they behaved in France.
I did.
But the Reichsführer cannot see the chasm which lies between his ideals and the reality. I should punish any breaches of discipline he hears about, but he thinks they're rare cases, and only ever committed by inferior bloodstock. He can't accept that these blonde, blue-eyed pillars of decency he so loves could possibly be abusing their positions, as they do.
Mm. But those ideals you speak of, those goals, you still believe in them?
The ends, yes. Well, some of them. The means to those ends. I think errors are being made.
A former patient of mine has brought to my attention what I think may be just one such error. A man has been arrested for no good reason and sent to Dachau.
Doctor, the concentration camps are not our concern. They're controlled by another department altogether.
But detention orders pass through the Reichsführer's office and through your own hands.
Doctor, please, I can't...
How easy would it be for the Reichsführer to arrange for the release of an individual prisoner?
He'd have the power, naturally. But without an official order, without the proper forms being observed, he'd never take such a step. Adherence to the rules, that's his life.
When he's in good health, yes. His show softens when he has an attack.
Doctor, please, don't do anything foolish. You may have a rapport with the Reichsführer, but as I've already told you, there are others who regard you with suspicion, who are watching for you to make a mistake. You can't fight the system. We're on a moving train. We may not be happy about where it's taking us, but no one is capable of stopping it with his bare hands.
I don't have any such lofty ambitions, but I must try and do what little good I can. As you say, with my bare hands.
Thank you, Kirsten. Thank you. The pain is gone.
You have been working too hard again.
The Führer is relying heavily on me for the efficient execution of our operations in the East. But I shall permit myself 5 minutes of peace. I have been thinking, Kirsten. My conscience is troubling me. You have cared for my health for over a year now, and I have never given you a penny's fee.
I do not ask for any.
Besides, I practice a sort of means testing. And, frankly, I feel
I am much wealthier than you.
No one grows fat in public service.
No one of such scrupulous standards of honesty as yourself, Herr Himmler. You are a shining example, worthy of your hero, Heinrich the First.
Diligence and sense of duty made him a great king.
And mercy. His sense of justice. To serve such men is honor enough. One does not ask for payment.
But it troubles me. I wish to make you a gift.
Then, Reichsführer, if it is your wish, I would beg one favor. The freedom of this man.
Wieland, Franz, Forman, Gernheim potassium plant in prison Dachau, sedition. Why?
I have perfect faith in this man's character and in the greatness of your own spirit.
Since it is you that ask it, I shall release him. Brandt, prepare a release form for one Franz Wieland, inmate of Dachau.
Thank you. Thank you, Herr Himmler.
And now, Doctor, I have work to do.
Of course, Reichsführer. Of course. Thank you. Thank you.
Felix. He said yes. That's extraordinary.
If he agreed to Wieland's release...
Felix, listen to me. You must not get carried away. You must be careful.
In the morning. What on earth?
Have you done anything wrong?
Stay here. I'll see who it is.
Dr. Kirsten.
Yes, Gestapo, we need to ask you some questions.
You are a medical practitioner and treat patients here at this flat.
You had only to read the plaque on my door.
We wish to talk to you in person. It's only right that the suspect should be present to defend himself.
Suspect?
We have reason to believe that your client list may include wearers of the Yellow Star.
Jews.
Is this true?
Yes. Quite true.
You admit it, then?
I acknowledge the fact. I see nothing to admit.
Do you mean to tell me, Dr. Kirsten, that you are unaware that it is unsuitable for a German citizen to come into contact, particularly physical contact, with Jews?
That may be German law. I am a Finn.
Your country of origin is of no consequence. You are presently a citizen of the German Reich, and consequently subject to its regulations.
Finland is not my country of origin. I'm naturalized. I've held a Finnish passport for 20 years.
I should like to see your current papers.
By all means. Here you are.
They would appear to be in order.
Will that be all?
We have been supplied with incorrect information.
Your cooperation is appreciated, Doctor. We shall not take any more of your time, but take my advice. Get rid of your Jews. They're notorious carriers of typhus. Not what you need in your job.
Hannibal!
Oh. I thought you trusted me, Reichsführer.
But I do. I do.
Then why could you not talk to me personally instead of sending Gestapo men?
What? What are you talking about?
About being interrogated at 6 o'clock this morning.
The Gestapo? On what grounds?
They accuse me of un-German behavior because I have some Jewish patients.
This is outrageous.
Brent, come into my office immediately. Kirsten, believe me, I had absolutely no idea.
Reichsführer?
Has any order passed through this office on the matter of a Gestapo interrogation of Dr. Kirsten?
No, none. I'm certain of it.
I forbid, absolutely forbid, any interference in Dr. Kirsten's business on any matter whatsoever by anyone. The doctor is answerable to me and to no one else.
Do you wish me to summon Major Heydrich?
No. No, just make sure that my order is known and understood by everyone. Everyone! In this building.
Very good, Reichsführer.
I will not tolerate such insubordination. I will not have my orders flouted. Even you, Kirsten. Even you persist in disobeying me.
I?
Why are you continuing to treat Jews after all I have said on the subject?
You have talked about broad policy, but these are individuals, my patients. And Jews are men like all the others.
No, no, no. The Führer has said that there are three categories of beings. Humans, animals, and Jews. For the sake of the first two, the last category must be destroyed.
But that is not your view, surely.
It's the Führer's wish. Get my stomach.
You see, I've said before, you must not overexcite yourself.
Yes.
Open your shirt. Yeah. And lie down. Lie down. That's it. Now, free your neck. Back free. Calm. Calm. There. You have always said that you only demanded that the Jews leave Germany, that to kill them would be un-German and impracticable.
It is the Führer's wish.
But the idea was put into his head by Goebbels.
It is the Führer's wish. That is all there is to be said. Oh, Kirsten, that's better.
Mm-hmm.
What would I do without you? But you must be fair to me. Stop treating Jews. I bend the rules for you all the time. I may not always be able to protect you. The latest thing I hear is that you have kept open your house in The Hague against my orders.
But, Herr Himmler, what chance have I had?
Yes. Yes, of course, you are right. Forgive me. However, the time has come for you to go and see to it.
Very well, Reichsführer. Oh, there is another small matter I should like to sort out with regard to my Dutch affairs.
What? Tell me.
The fact is, I have a weakness for the fairer sex.
That is no weakness. It is to be commended in a man.
Well, since leaving Holland, I have received many letters from ladies of my acquaintance.
Many? Oh, Captain.
Now, for one thing, it is not nice to know that the censor has read them first. And for another, well, I don't want to run the risk of my wife, whom I love dearly.
But of course, it's just that a man sometimes requires other things. I fully understand. You may use my own personal number. Military Postal Section 35360. Your letters will come to this office, handled with kid gloves and read by no one. We men must stick together, huh?
These letters which have been arriving for you from Holland.
Yeah. Yes. The Reichsführer gave me his own postal number.
Quite astonishing.
They're from my old amours.
Adlib said the handwriting is in some cases rather masculine. Happily, I'm here to make sure they go straight to you.
When I went to The Hague to close up my house there, I met with several old friends of mine. We decided we should use this privileged postal number to relay to me news of the worst outrages. There's a constant stream.
each case more appalling than the last. I cannot hope to free every individual. I'm being asked to choose who shall live and who shall die.
Let me help you. I agree we can't hope to free them all, but when the Reichsfuhrer signs a release order, there's almost always a little space left. When you've succeeded in convincing him to release one prisoner, you must let me know the names of another one or two of the most pressing cases, and I'll insert them before processing the document.
Why are you prepared to do this?
Let us just say, I feel it's my duty. We must be doubly careful.
Is the Reichsführer in his office?
No, Felix. He's on his way to the Prussian HQ.
Damn!
What's wrong?
Heydrich has sent for me.
Christ. I'll phone through to Herr Himmler. Meanwhile, you'd better go. And God go with you.
Thank you for coming, Dr. Kirsten. Please take a seat.
Thank you, Heydrich. Is it really necessary to tape our interview?
You clearly know our methods, Doctor. You're right. There's actually no need to record our talk. All I want to do is to get to know you a little better. In an organization such as the SS, it is always good to establish political alliances, as I'm sure you've found.
I play no political role here, Herr Heydrich. Indeed, I have no political knowledge to speak of at all.
Oh, I sincerely hope that is not so. A man who has the ear of the Reichsführer should be giving him advice in keeping with Nazi ideology.
Ah, on that score, I think I can say I am sufficiently well briefed with Herr Himmler as my teacher.
I see. But should you wish for any hard facts, such as those relating to Holland, for example?
Thank you. I shall bear that in mind.
You see, it is not ideology which principally concerns me. I'm a much more practical man. I like to see things running smoothly, efficiently. And this is where we in the Gestapo could be of enormous help to you. We are aware that you receive many requests from people to argue their case with the Reichsführer.
There have been a number of such requests, yes.
All from friends of yours?
Occasionally. From friends of friends.
Ah. Now, that, you see, brings me to the point I was wanting to make. You are here in Berlin, one man with, by your own admission, limited political knowledge. We of the Gestapo have many agents in many places, all of whom are well briefed. What I'm suggesting is that you should refer these people to us, so that we may research into their backgrounds. That way there will be much less risk of mistakes being made.
Perhaps I should discuss this with the Reichsführer?
I would be most grateful if you would make it known to Herr Himmler that we're being so cooperative. I would appreciate that. Shall we say, the first of many steps in a mutually beneficial alliance? Excuse me. Heydrich? Yes, Reichsführer. Yes, he is, as a matter of fact. We were just having a little chat about ways of working together for greater efficiency. Yes, Herr Himmler, I am aware that the doctor is answerable to you alone. Yes, Reichsführer, no question. Absolutely. I look forward to seeing you then. Heil Hitler. Well, Doctor, you clearly understate your own political skills. Bear in mind what I've said. Our organization operates on a system of very fine balances. Individual influence and power are not the stablest of commodities. Situations can change.
Ready. I need to speak to you immediately.
What's the matter, Felix?
I was in the mess, taking coffee. I heard Heydrich and Kaltenbrunner talking. Is it true they're planning to deport the entire Dutch population to Poland?
God, man, keep your voice down.
It is true, then.
The plan has just been unveiled. I was going to tell you, but we can do nothing.
This is policy.
Show me the file.
Felix, it's top secret.
You have a copy?
Yes, of course.
Let me see it.
All right.
Come on.
Be quick, Felix.
The deportation of an entire people, it is beyond belief.
It was lost patience with the ingratitude of the Dutch to persist in refusing to welcome their liberators.
This is sheer madness.
It has a certain logic. Give Polish land to the Dutch and the Poles will stop fighting us and concentrate on their new enemy. Meanwhile, Holland can be colonized by good German peasant stock as a buffer against attack from Britain.
But to force march 8 million people, the sick, the aged across Europe, it is unthinkable.
Himmler wants to be ready to commence operations on April the 20th as a birthday gift to the Führer. Look, give me the file, Felix.
No.
There is nothing we can do. And you cannot possibly admit to anyone knowing anything about this plan, nor tell anyone it was I who showed you the file. Look, give it to me!
As you see, if I am to increase the numbers of the Waffen-SS to 1 million men by the end of 1941, as the Führer wishes, I am bound to be overworking.
It is not you I criticize, Reich Führer. Please don't misunderstand me. You are, as ever, an example to us all. But there is only so much the human body can take.
I have no choice but to obey.
But people must realize that certain things just cannot be achieved so swiftly. I'm not asking you to disobey. Simply to request a reasonable time. Oh, I must ask you something else. When exactly are you aiming to deport the Dutch?
It is planned for April. How did you know about this?
I know nothing for certain. Only what I overheard Kaltenbrunner and Heydrich talking about in the mess.
They should know better than to go babbling in public. It is a highly secret matter. I thought for one moment that you...
No. I'm glad they have been so indiscreet. This plan will put you under intolerable strain.
The groundwork is already laid.
This is the worst, the most foolish of plans.
Kirsten! It is a Führer's wish!
I mean for you. It is a massive extra burden. To be frank, it could kill you.
I owe absolute obedience to the Führer.
Oh, yes, that's fine. All I'm saying is that you should ask for this plan to be deferred. Until after the war.
I am perfectly capable of doing all that is required of me. Your treatment see to that. But, in this matter, that is all I require of you, Doctor. Not your counsel.
You've had a bad dream. It's over now.
Shh, shh, shh.
All right. You're all right.
Oh, you've got it. I opened my eyes. And here I am. At Hartsfeld. Cocooned in my little world of luxury.
Ah, my nightmare is over. I know that for others, it is just starting.
Who do you mean, Felix? If you carry on like this, your own nerves will get into such a state you won't be able to help anybody. There's no guarantee that your power is inexhaustible, is there? You must look after yourself.
What did you say?
That you must take care of yourself, your health.
Now, before that, you said there's no guarantee that my powers are inexhaustible. You're right. Absolutely right. No guarantee at all.
What's happened, Felix? Have you lost your gift?
I warned Herr Himmler that he was taking on far too much. The deportation of the Dutch.
Oh, I see, that's it. You're refusing to treat him.
Refusing? I've been giving him 10 treatments a day. But the strain he is under, and I cannot focus. My powers are not inexhaustible.
The Reichsfuhrer has had to leave the train and go to a hotel. He's desperate. Felix, you must come. I don't know if he'll last the night without you. Do you want to see Heydrich as head of the SS?
I can do nothing more.
Felix, please.
Can't get my breath.
Try straightening your upper body. Above all, do not panic. There. Is that any better?
Can't breathe.
You've already had 10 treatments today. There's no point trying more. The real problem is staring us both in the face, but you refuse to acknowledge the fact. You are working too hard. It is so simple. Postpone the deportation of the Dutch.
The Fuhrer wishes. It must go ahead.
Well, it will go ahead without you. Is it the Fuhrer's wish that you should die? Look, I'm no politician. I would never presume to interfere. You have your job to do, but I have mine. I feel I must speak frankly.
If I agreed to do as you said, to go and see the Fuhrer and beg him to be patient, can you say for certain that you can help me?
Yes.
Kirsten! I will go to the Fuhrer.
To get the deportation postponed.
Yes, yes. Now help me. Please.
Good morning, Dr. Kirsten.
Herr Kaltenbrunner.
How has the Reichsfuhrer taken the tragic news of Heydrich's assassination?
He is not seeing anyone.
Oh. Not even you. My, must be very upset. It's a dreadful business. But I, as the new head of the Gestapo, shall not rest until I brought these murderers to justice. Brought to justice all those who worked to undermine the Third Reich. And you may rely on this. I shall show them no mercy.
Wish to see me, Ambassador Kivime?
Ah, Kirsten, take a seat. Since your news last year regarding Hitler's mental state and what you have told us recently, we think the Reichsfuhrer may be coming close to a point at which he might envisage taking the reins and entering into direct peace negotiations with the Allies.
While Hitler remains in power, I cannot see Himmler ever being prepared to act on his own initiative.
Hitler's orders are becoming more erratic by the hour. Himmler is no madman. He must see that the Third Reich is doomed and that it is in his own interest to cooperate in steps towards peace. You have proved your ability to make Himmler listen to reason.
What is it you wish of me?
The Finnish government is proposing that you should go to Stockholm to make contact with Roosevelt's special representative there, a man called Hewitt.
Wait, I would never be permitted to go to Sweden.
For one thing, Himmler's too dependent on me. And for another, Kaltenbrunner would block any such move.
We have already thought of that, Doctor. The plan is to call you up in your capacity as a physician to treat wounded Finnish troops. We have a cast-iron right to do so, and with the Finnish German alliance in its present state, Himmler will not risk souring relations. You will go only as far as Stockholm, where large numbers of Finnish troops are convalescing. You will thus be able to fly over when Himmler needs you, maintaining your special relationship with him. What do you say, Doctor?
Very well. I agree. I think for security's sake we should conduct our interview inside. Now, sir, I'm at your disposal.
As you know, Dr. Kirsten, there is a deep desire for peace on the part of the Allies.
On the part of the German people also, Mr. Hewitt, believe me, but not on the part of Adolf Hitler.
That is the problem. Likewise, in terms of diplomacy, no one among the Allied governments is prepared to make any kind of peace with Hitler. The removal of his regime is a prerequisite. I need to know from you whether you think that is at all likely.
Hitler has a warped mind, but he has been careful to divide and rule to the highest level.
But with the war now going the way it is there no possibility of a coup?
Goering, Bormann, Ribbentrop, and the rest may plot among themselves, but Hitler has ensured that none of them can ever amass power enough to threaten him.
And Himmler?
Ah, he is a special case. None lives in greater fear of Hitler, nor holds him in higher reverence.
And as leader of the SS, could he do it?
Oh, with careful marshalling, he could muster sufficient forces. If only he could make the decision to act. And therein lies the fundamental problem.
We have drawn up a 7-point list of fundamental demands. First, all territories occupied by Germany would have to be evacuated and their sovereignty restituted. Second, the abolition of the Nazi Party. Third, the abolition of Hitler's dictatorship. Fourth, the restitution of the 1914 German Party.
Finally, the trial of leading Nazis on charges of war crimes. This is preposterous. The other conditions are outrageous enough, but this last one is totally unacceptable. No crimes have been committed. Everything that has been done under the Führer's regime has been conducted with due regard for the law.
Even the annihilation of the Poles and the Jews?
Certainly. That also was legal since the Führer ordered it in Breslau in 1941. The Führer's word is law. Supreme law in Germany. Crimes. We are a decent people and have fought with honor.
But for long enough. The German people, the people of all Europe, are waiting for your decision. No one else can make that decision. Don't hesitate. If you really wish history to honor you as a great Germanic leader, then grant them their wish. Peace.
Oh, don't torment me. How can I go against the Führer? He made me. It is unthinkable. What are they saying in Stockholm? That Germany is crushed? Finished? I expect you have left your wife and family in Sweden, leaving a sinking ship?
No, Reichsführer, they're at home, on our estate.
They are? Oh, Kirsten, I knew I could trust you, that you, at least, still held faith. Kaltenbrunner informed me that you had taken a flat in Stockholm.
So, even in Stockholm I have Kaltenbrunner's dog sniffing around me. A flat is simply cheaper.
Yes, yes, quite. As to these proposals, it is only really the last of them which is absolutely out of the question. I must have time to think it over. I realize that this war is a disaster for everyone, and if I can, I will do anything to stop it. You have to return to Stockholm?
Yes, Reichsführer. Hewitt remains in Sweden for a few more days. I also have a meeting with the Foreign Minister, Mr. Christian Günther.
Kira's nerve gave out at the last minute.
Yes, so it would seem, Herr Gunther.
Oh, I felt we were so near a breakthrough.
Well, one tack has failed. Hewitt's had to return to the United States. There's nobody here now who can speak on Roosevelt's behalf.
Oh.
But you mustn't reproach yourself, Dr. Kirsten. Nor lose heart. You've done excellent groundwork. There's no point in regretting what's proved impossible.
I cannot help it.
Well, we've been unable to save the whole of Europe at a stroke. But there are many groups and individuals in the camps whom we may be able to help to freedom. What I wish you to relay to the Reichsfuhrer in the first instance is that Norwegian and Danish prisoners should be removed here to Sweden under the auspices of the Red Cross. Now, once on our territory, we would undertake to detain them until the end of the war, taking responsibility for their feeding, their medical requirements. Germany's desperation means that prisoners are more than ever at risk. Also, many of the camps are in peril from Allied bombs.
You see, the more desperate the situation becomes for Germany, the more they cling to the idea of their own supremacy.
It will be a difficult task, Dr. Kirsten. But you're the only person who can attempt it.
Thank you, Felix. It's good to have you here for a while. There have been times when you've been in Stockholm, my headaches have driven me to distraction.
You seem worn out.
Well, as you say, war creates a lot of paperwork. Even more so when it's going badly. You've done well to convince the Reichsfuhrer to adopt Gunther's proposal.
Well, it has not been easy. He may still change his mind.
Yes, the less stable the situation has become, the more terrified he is about offending Hitler. He won't give the Fuhrer any bad news, for fear of being blamed like the Greek messenger. So the Fuhrer goes on issuing impossible orders based on false optimism.
What's going on?
I don't know.
Hey, you there! What's happening?
Someone who's trying to kill the Fuhrer!
What?
A bomb attack! He is safe! Thank God! Hey, Himmler has just come back from the Volkshanse!
Brandt, there you are. You've heard the news? A colonel in the Wehrmacht. But the Fuhrer was saved by Providence. Bring me the files on resistance sympathizers. Liberal. You know how to look for.
Very good, Reichsfuhrer.
Now.
Herr Reichsfuhrer.
Huh? Kirsten, I did not notice you there.
What papers are those?
My correspondence with the Swedes. I must destroy it. There must not be the slightest weakness in my allegiance to the Fuhrer. There can be no question of releasing more prisoners.
But you can't. I beg you.
The files you wanted, Reichsfuhrer.
Ah, thank you, Rudy. Gerdler, Tanya, Wenzel, Schmidt.
Wenzel? Do you mean Professor Wenzel? That's ridiculous. Anyone less likely to be an assassin.
He is a close friend of Gerdler's.
And I am a close friend of Wenzel's. Must I die too?
There is no room for sentimentality here.
But surely there is room for reason. You cannot arrest Wenzel. He's harmless. Please, Reichsfuhrer, for me. Promise me you will not allow it.
Brandt, return Professor Wenzel's file to the cabinet. Are you satisfied, Kirsten? Now, I have to leave for Berlin. I shall send for you when I need you.
It is indeed ironic, Dr. Kirsten. The attempt on Hitler's life, the most rational act of recent years, provokes not sanity, but a renewal of Nazi fervor.
The reprisals have been so brutal as to defy belief, Herr Gunther.
Mm. Who knows what the dying monster will not be capable of? It's for this reason that you must continue to work on Himmler to try and secure the release of prisoners. Not just Norwegians and Danes, anybody and everybody you can. The Swedish government is prepared to take Dutch, Jews, French, as many as you can get out.
I wish I thought I stood a chance.
The Ardennes offensive. It is a stroke of genius. Von Rundstedt will sweep the Allies away and victory shall be ours.
In that case, Herr Reichsfuhrer, you can afford to be even more magnanimous. The Swedish plan...
No, I have no time for all that now. I feel ashamed of my earlier doubts. I must work doubly hard to redeem myself. I am busy. You must leave me now.
Very well. Herr Himmler.
It's no good, Rudy. He's ranting. He is ranting, isn't he? The Ardennes offensive cannot succeed.
I don't believe we have the substance anymore. In the meantime, the madness continues. I have bad news. Wenzel was hanged last Friday.
What? He gave me his word. No.
Felix, please.
You promised me you would save Wenzel. Where is this honor you talk of so much? Is this your word? You have the blood of yet another innocent man on your hands.
You must believe me. The Cure insisted. It was beyond my power. I swear.
I can't listen to you anymore.
Felix.
Stop. I have nothing to say. I cannot bear to look at the man any longer.
Felix, what he said was true. Hitler insisted absolutely on Wenzel's death.
And he just goes on obeying a madman. Well, I've finished.
You can't allow this to jeopardize everything else. Look, Wenzel was your friend, but only one man. You must act.
Why must I? Why me? Why don't you act?
Oh, I'm sorry. But my friend is dead.
The Führer has issued an order that should the Allies succeed in breaking through into Germany, all the concentration camps are to be dynamited, destroyed. Inmates, guards, all destroyed. So that no one should ever know what went on there.
Oh, my God.
800,000 lives. Now, I can do nothing. I'm part of the Third Reich, a mere pawn. My hands are not free. And even if they were, they're my hands, not yours. Only you have the power to influence him. 800,000 people, Felix. And Himmler is sorry about Wenzel. He's in there hanging his head in shame like a contrite schoolboy. Go back in there. Act now. And Wenzel will not have died in vain.
Read it back, please, Brandt.
This document makes provision for the release of all Germanic prisoners, their evacuation to Sweden with 5,000 Jewish prisoners, also the freeing of 3,000 French and Belgian women interned at Ravensbrück, and permission for 20,000 Jews to be allowed to cross into Switzerland. It equally marks the immediate cessation of the extermination program and countermands the dynamiting order, witnessed by myself this 12th day of March 1945. Will you sign now, Reichsführer?
I will.
And you, Dr. Kasten, on behalf of the Red Cross.
I shall sign in the name of humanity.
You? Yes. Yes.
There. I shall go straight to Stockholm with this document and begin preparations. I would request one further thing, Reichsführer. Will you permit me to bring back a representative of the World Jewish Congress so that you may give to him in person the assurances to which you have just put your name?
Kirsten, tell your representative that I shall be expecting him for coffee.
Dr. Kirsten, may I present Count Volker Bernadotte of the Swedish Red Cross, who's to be in overall control of the evacuation convoy?
I am honoured, sir.
Likewise, Dr. Kirsten. Your efforts on behalf of my organisation are greatly appreciated.
Thank you.
Herr Gunther here is arranging for us to leave directly for Germany so that Himmler and I can begin detailed discussions of the logistics of the evacuation.
So I gather. And we shall be travelling in the company of Herr Norbert Mazur of the World Jewish Congress.
If you think that is strictly necessary. We do, after all, have the Reichsführer's signature on the document.
Yes, sir. I have been in close contact with Himmler for several years, and I've observed how apt he is to reinterpret agreements on paper. Our cause will be greatly strengthened by his coming face to face with Mazur and actually giving him his word.
Very well, as you wish.
You've arranged the meeting place, Dr. Kirsten. The Reichsführer has agreed to come to my state, outside Berlin.
This way, please, Count Bernadotte, Herr Mazur. I have a car waiting.
Rejoice, people of Germany! Tomorrow, April the 20th, is the first day of your beloved Führer.
You are sure he will come?
Yes, Felix. He must have been held up at Hitler's birthday celebration in the bunker.
He is celebrating?
Bormann's idea. The Führer himself is said to be openly suicidal.
That must be the Reichsführer. Go in and tell him.
Certainly.
Herr Himmler, I'm glad to see you.
My dear Dr. Kirsten, I am sorry I am so late.
You look tired.
I am, Doctor. I am.
I just wish to take the opportunity of reminding you that both you and Herr Mazur are guests in my home.
Have no fear, Kirsten. I have come to make peace.
Herr Himmler, this is Count Volker Bernadotte, who is to be in charge of the Red Cross convoy.
How do you do, sir?
Herr Himmler.
And may I present Herr Mazur of the World Jewish Congress.
Good day, sir. I am glad to meet you.
Thank you.
Will you be seated, gentlemen? Help yourself to coffee, tea.
These photos, supposedly of the camps, which the press had been circulating, they are quite bogus. Mere propaganda.
Perhaps you would describe to us then what they are really like.
A concentration camp is not really the right word. They should have been termed training camps. A wide variety of criminal elements have been held there. They have served an extremely salutary purpose, reducing crime in the Reich to its lowest point in many years.
Are all Jews automatically criminals?
Many were guilty of firing on us from their ghettos. And there was the risk of typhus. The camps were the only alternative. True, the inmates had to work hard there, but it has been thus for everyone in Germany.
But you cannot sit there and maintain that there have been no crimes committed.
Some, certainly. On occasion. But I punished those responsible when such cases arose. I had Koch hang for what he did at Buchenwald. Had I had my own way, things would have been very different.
Count Bernadotte, I think perhaps we should leave Herr Mazur and Herr Himmler to their discussion.
Very well.
We shall be nearby if you need us.
Cigarette, Doctor?
Thank you, I don't. But, please.
The Russian guns are very near.
Yes.
It must be worrying. For you, I mean.
For me?
You must be nervous for your beautiful house and land. And also for what the Russians would do if they were to catch you.
You know that I fought against them in the last war.
You have not made a secret of it, I think. You are intending to establish yourself in Sweden now that Russia has taken Finland?
It is my wish to adopt Swedish nationality, yes.
I have a certain amount of influence, which I should be more than willing to employ on your behalf, provided you are not aiming to take more than your due share of credit for this evacuation plan.
Credit?
Which is owed almost exclusively to the Red Cross. You've had a cozy enough war, Doctor. To seek glory on top of it would be tempting providence. Your story does strain the bounds of credibility. Best just bow out quietly before too many questions are asked.
I'm sorry, are you threatening me?
On the contrary.
I am willing to help you acquire Swedish nationality. Without my influence, well, the alternative does not bear thinking about, does it, Dr. Kirsten?
The Reichsführer would like to see you now, Count Bernadotte.
Ah, good. You will think about my offer.
Shall I show you through, sir?
Thank you, no. I know the way.
Herr Mazur is resting. The Reichsführer has given him his word to abide by the agreement. We shall no doubt be leaving quite shortly. You're returning to Stockholm, and I shall stay with the Reichsführer. Are you all right, Phoenix?
Oh, yes.
I just wanted to say goodbye, in case this is the last time we meet. It has been an honor to work with you, and I'm very grateful for all that you have done. I would also beg you to remember my role in this and to tell whoever may need to be told.
Really? I fear that may not be possible. Count Bernadotte has just been threatening me with extradition to Russia if I try to take credit for this operation.
But that is outrageous. It's nothing but a glorified transport officer. It was your skill which opened up the way. You must...
What can I do? It would not risk the success of the plan. No, Rudy, if we must hide our lights under a bushel, then so be it. The important thing is that the evacuation should go ahead. What matter who receives the credit? We shall not die for lack of credit.
No, Phoenix. You're right.
Everything has been arranged, Doctor. The evacuation is to go ahead in accordance with the agreement, and any orders prejudicial to the Jews will get no further than my office. It will not be difficult with communications as they are now.
What will you do?
I do not know how much longer I shall live. Whatever happens, please, remember me kindly. I may have been guilty of grave faults, but the Führer demanded of me that I follow the path of severity. Without discipline, without obedience, no state can do anything, be anything. Nothing can rob me of the memory of what we were, of the days in Munich when I bore the standard. With us gone, the best part of Germany will disappear. The Allies are welcome to whatever dross is left. Kirsten, you have my deepest gratitude for all that you have done for me over the years. It is my poor family I worry about now. Farewell.
Goodbye, Herr Himmler.
I just wanted a moment on my own.
But everyone is here to see you. Oh, Felix, I am so proud. I knew they'd have to find in your favor that the truth of what you did would finally be made known. But a nomination for the Nobel Peace Prize. What are you reading?
Just an old letter.
From Rudolf Brandt?
Yes.
Why ever are you wasting your thoughts on him? You did more for him than he deserved. The testimonial you sent in Nuremberg nearly cost you your own reputation. You played into his hands. Felix, He was simply using you to try and save his own neck.
You may be right. I shall never know. No one will ever know for certain how much guilt he bore. But I, unlike his judges, saw the Nazi machine close to. I know the terrible power it possessed. Rudi Brandt was not an evil man. He acted to protect himself and those he loved. We were lucky. Who can say what I would have done? That destiny put me in his place.
We have heard persuasive pleas on behalf of the defendant, Rudolf Brandt. These give us a picture of his character as being essentially mild and one wholly dominated by his chief. That chief, Heinrich Himmler, as you all know, cheated justice by taking his own life while in Allied custody.
Colonel Brandt, it is time.
I'm ready.
Evidence, however, is conclusive that Rudolf Brandt at all times knew exactly what processes would be carried out in the course of experiments at Dachau and Sachsenhausen concentration camps between the years 1939 and 1944. Experiments on unwilling human subjects into the physiological effects of freezing, mustard gas, epidemic jaundice, typhus, bone, muscle and nerve regeneration, and bone transplantation. He also bears direct criminal responsibility for the murder and ill treatment of tubercular Poles, for the administration of the Nazi euthanasia program, and for the murder of 112 Jews for the purpose of completing a skeleton collection for the Reich University of Strasbourg. If it be thought, for even a moment, that the part played by the defendant was relatively unimportant when compared to the enormity of the charges proved by the evidence, let it be said that every Himmler must have his Brandt, else the plans of a master criminal would never be put into execution. In respect of all that this court has heard, I have no alternative but to pass on you the severest sentence in my power. You are hereby condemned to death by hanging.
Vital Flaw by Neville Watchhurst, Martin Jarvis played Kirsten and John Dutteen Himmler. Christopher Ravenscroft played Brandt and Louise Jameson Irmgard. The part of Bernadotte was played by Peter Harding, Carlton Brunner and Gunther Gareth Armstrong, Hewitt and Mazur David Monaco, Kivimaki John Badley. Norman Bird was Roosteg and the Judge, Malcolm Ward Heydrich, and Michael Onslow and Dominic Letts played Koch, Pohl, and the Gestapo officers. Other parts were played by members of the company. The music was composed by Anthea Gomez, and the play was directed by Sue Wilson.